Hey friends, I'm Rebecca Miller, and this is the I Can Relate podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today I have a brand new episode with my friend Sarah, who shares her powerful testimony of God saving her from her religion and redeeming her in Christ. It's so beautiful. Thanks for taking a moment to listen. I hope that you will share the podcast with someone and also subscribe if you haven't already. Let's dive into today's episode.
I'm happy to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me, Becky. I am just honored to be your guest. I've loved listening to your podcast. Thank you so much for getting us together today.
Absolutely. And so we're going to start off with your testimony and just share how long you've been saved and how you came to know Christ as your personal savior.
Yes. So to summarize my story before giving some details, I always believed that we were the ones that pursue God. I had no idea that God pursues us. I was born into a Muslim family. My parents are from the Middle East, and I am the first person in my entire lineage to be born and raised in the United States. And I always had this assumption growing up that whatever family you were born into dictated the faith that you grew up with, and that's just your identity. So if you were born into a Christian family, you're automatically a Christian. If you were born into a Jewish family, you're Jewish. Muslim, you're Muslim. And I had no idea until many years later that the beauty of Christianity is that God pursues you, and you get to accept that call and you know, accept that invitation from God to become a Christ follower. Yeah. So I grew up really being somebody who was disciplined, which I do walk away with that with much appreciation. I prayed 5 times a day. I fasted during Ramadan. I made sure to dress modestly, nothing too revealing. Like, I really grew up with great morals. And I really feel like that was a good launching pad for the person that I am today. As far as the actual religion was concerned, I definitely felt like I did not always resonate. From a young age, there was just something always inside of me that questioned a lot of what I heard and my upbringing. But there was also this fear of moving away from it. So I maintained, like I said, that discipline, that prayer life. And I really wanted to make sure that I was honoring God. So although I always believed in the presence of God, I don't know that I ever had an intimate relationship with God. He was this distant being who judged the world, you know, was up in the heavens. And I remember from an early age, my very first awareness was God, is that he was omniscient and omnipotent. And I firmly believe that if you teach a child the omniscience and the omnipotence of God before or without teaching the love of God, that really sets things up for someone to be very anxious and fearful and could actually lead to some religious trauma. So I always grew up just really wanting to strive for that perfection, which, as we know, does not exist. Right. And, you know, I led a life where even till this day, I think I still struggle with those tendencies. And I have to remind myself that we are who we are, and we are in need of God because we're not perfect. So I will say that the only time I really felt that connection with God was being out in nature and admiring his majesty and his creation. And that was like just being in awe of the powerful manifestation of what God can create. So I did have moments of feeling him, but not in the sense that I do today as a Christian. So I was living out this life of professing that I was Muslim, at least around my parents. I mean, I never really talked about my faith around my friends, which was very interesting as well. It just didn't really resonate with me. Although they would know, you know, during Ramadan if I was fasting and whatnot. But I inwardly was just screaming inside. I felt like I was living this dual life of, you know, leaving my home and feeling like I was one identity, entering the world and feeling like I was another one. And I, from a very early age, really remember, before it was even a term, checking off the spiritual but not religious box. I really felt like if God is an exclusive God that only allows certain people into heaven and your goodness is not a criteria, I don't want to be part of that. So I was really inwardly against organized religion in general. But again, there was this like tinge of fear in me, like, well, what if I'm wrong? So I'm just going to continue to pray and fast and do all the things just as a security. So, but God continued to pursue me. And I remember that I lived in that cognitive dissonance, but he still at every turn just like ushered me back to him. And I remember even just from a really young age, we were surrounded by Christians, and there was just something about them. I can't explain it. I remember playing with friends, neighborhood friends, and they were talking about going to church and talking about, you know, their Bibles. And I didn't even know what a Bible was, but I knew I wanted a green one. And I went home and I said to my parents, you know, can I get a Bible? And they're like, no, we're Muslim. We're not Christian. And then I remember that was kind of like around the time, you know, within a year or two, we started going to our own like Muslim Sunday school to learn more about the faith and all of that. And meanwhile, I think my parents were also having their like identity existential crisis of living in the US and trying to really honor their heritage. But also, I remember, you know, at certain points in our life, we had a Christmas tree and we had lights and we would celebrate the secular Christmas of giving gifts to friends. So there was a bit of that until one year. So Ramadan goes up a few days each year. And one year it was actually in December. And it was like, okay, we're done celebrating Christmas because now we have our holiday in December. So we're going to celebrate that instead. And from then on, it was just really embracing that. So the older I got, the more distant I got from my parents' culture and faith, which, like I said, never really resonated with me. I just over time really started to shed my parents' faith, and I wasn't quiet about it either. You know, I really questioned a lot. And there's a phrase in Arabic when you ask a question like Allahu Alam, which means like God knows. And that would be the response that I got with a lot of the questions that I asked. So in 2004, something really, really huge happened. And that was my entire family moved overseas. And I was the only one that stayed here. And I've always had the gift of intuition ever since I was a little girl. And I always knew that was going to happen. So I had prepared myself for it mentally and emotionally, and even materially, financially. I had set aside money, like knowing when the day came, I was not going with them. And my dad had talked about it over the years, and I was, you know, always just anxious about it. And when it finally came, it was actually easier. As far as saying no, it was definitely hard letting go of my family, who I love dearly. So during that time, I think that's when my faith transformation really happened. I first actually started, ironically, by trying to go into mosques because I missed my family so much, and I was trying to capture the essence of them in a way. And I mean, I think I went to like two or three, and I quickly learned like, this is just not for me. It's not resonating. It never has, but I tried. And then I had a roommate in grad school who was a Christian, and she went to church every Sunday. And I was just going through such a hard time during that season of my life, trying to figure out who I am apart from my family, now living in a country all by herself with no relatives, which I never in a million years thought that would happen to me, especially as somebody growing up in my parents' religion and culture. That is just like, wow, that never happens. But God was making a way. Yeah. So I ended up attending church with her for probably about 2 months. And it's hard to explain what I experienced, because I definitely think that I closed my ears every time I heard about Jesus, because something inside of me was like, no, we don't go there. But I did walk away each time like, wow, there's just something incredible about being in church, and I'm just feeling so fulfilled. And I remember the outcome of that experience, even though it was short-lived, is I walked away and it came to me one day. It was just like a revelation. It wasn't anything that was said, is that God is love. And I almost could feel him holding my hand sometimes when I was going through a hard time during that experience of what I was going through with my parents having left. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that is when the enemy really started to attack me. Like, wow, she got into church. We need to stop that. So I left. I was living in Pennsylvania at the time. And shortly after that church experience, I moved to Virginia by myself. And that is when I entered the world of spirituality. And it happened so innocently. I was going through a lot and, you know, just talking to different people, and somebody put on my radar about meditation and yoga. And I, you know, and I want to pause actually at this point and say something, because I do believe that one of the reasons that Christians, that people don't pursue Christianity, is people outside of the church kind of tug at them and keep them out of that world. But I also equally feel like sometimes people don't want to pursue Christianity because of Christians. So I want to say that I am not here to be anybody's Holy Spirit. This is just my experience of what I had with meditation and yoga. And I know there's so much controversy about, like, is it biblical? Is it okay? Is it not? That is not for me to decide. That is not for me to decide. The Bible does tell us to meditate on the Word of God. I came across a lot of research about yoga and what the poses mean and the origin of it. So I had to make my own Holy Spirit, you know, convicted choice. And that is for everybody else to decide. So I just want to preface by saying that before giving this spiritual part of my story.
Yeah.
So I heavily entered into meditation. I was meditating like 45 minutes to an hour every day, and I would feel such amazing bliss. However, it was short-lived, and it was a gateway into a lot of different experiences, into what seemingly looked like light and not darkness, but it was really a dark place. Because one of the things I really vividly remember when I started meditating was hearing a voice which sounded like my voice, and I was just questioning, like, God, what should I believe? And I heard the voice say, believe in yourself, which sounds like an encouraging phrase, but really, if you think about the time we're living in right now, we're not meant to believe in ourselves. We're meant to believe in God. We're meant to believe in the power of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. So I really slipped into this world for, gosh, I would say probably about, how long was it? Maybe 9 years, almost a decade of really embracing spiritual means. Like, I bought so many books, and I always felt like, oh my gosh, there are so many secrets to the world and I want to know them all. And I became more and more isolated, because you don't normally just go and talk about, like, what you did over the weekend. Like, oh, I went to this meditation session. At the time, it wasn't the norm. Now it is for a lot of people. And I would go to yoga studios and do all sorts of different, you know, yoga, you know, like celebrations we would have. And anyways, that world really took me into myself in not a great way. So by the time I had reached 2014, and I will say that I didn't mention this, but I entered this world of spirituality, but I was still praying and fasting. I was still holding on to my parents' religion out of fear. So I had this pivotal moment in 2014. I remember this like it happened yesterday. I prayed my last prayer to God in the Muslim way. And I said to him, God, you know what? I'm sorry. I cannot worship you in this way. I don't even know what I'm saying. It's in a different religion. I'm sorry, a different language. And I want to authentically get to know you. And this is just not working for me. So I'm scared. I might be going to hell right now because I'm refusing to worship in this way, but I cannot do this anymore. So, you know, it's kind of like you know, with a computer, if you have two operating systems at the same time, it's going to malfunction. And I decided I couldn't be a Muslim and I couldn't be spiritual at the same time, pursuing all of this meditation and inward reflective practices. So I chose the latter. And that took me down a really, really dark road of, like I said, isolation. I started to feel even more anxious. I started to feel a bit depressed. Like, I just came to know that bliss was short-lived and I had to constantly seek it in different ways. So 2018 was a really pivotal year for me. The Holy Spirit really pursued me during that year. I had this yearning that I can't even explain, except for it was the Holy Spirit, where I really, really wanted to go into a church. And I would pass churches and just become aware of them. And I even thought to myself, like, is it like the movies where you can just go in at midnight and just go sit in the, you know, in the sanctuary and pray? Like, can I find a church like that? I really yearned for that. And then in March of 2018, I went to visit my family abroad, and it was just like, wow, the Holy Spirit was on it. My mom said to me, I want to take you to new places while you're here so you can experience it. And I was wondering, do you want to go on a tour of the churches? And I said, absolutely. And I was so excited to do something different, first of all, but just that calling in my heart to go to church was answered. So I remember that day, it was the end of March in 2018, and we went into several different churches, and they're all beautiful, like just gorgeous, with gold and silver and jade and lapis lazuli, and just ancient, but just so grandiose. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up going into the most plain looking church, and it was the Church of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I took one step inside, and I felt like I was going to fall to my knees in tears. And I felt this warmth and this love that I had never felt my entire life. And I looked over at my sister and my mom. I said to my sister, do you feel that? And she's like, what are you talking about? I said, I'm going to burst into tears in front of all of these people. I cannot even control myself. And she's like, no, I don't feel anything. And I, you know, I'm pretty stoic sometimes. I can hide my emotions. So I walked around that church, and I just, like, you know, kind of swallowed my tears and maintained my grace and decorum. But it was hard. And I looked around trying to find, you know, the meaning of it, and searched people's faces to see if anybody else felt the same way. And I didn't. And I left that church that day thinking, huh, note to self, what in the world was that? Mm. So fast forward a few months later, it's July of 2018, and I go to visit a good friend in New Mexico. And we actually went to, like, several different neat places, and one of them was an old reservation. And on that reservation, there was a church that had been bombed in the 1960s by the government. And I stood next to that church, and it wasn't there. It was just kind of the remains of it. And I burst into tears. I felt the same warmth and love that I had felt in March. And this time I could not control myself. And my friend said to me, Sarah, what is going on? I said, I have no clue. I just can't stop crying. Like, it was just so emotional. And then I, you know, again, note to self, what was that? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in the meantime, I have to say, during this time, I was coming to the end of myself. Not in a morbid sense, like I wasn't going to do anything, but I felt like I was just not me anymore. Like, if I actually even felt like aches and pains, I just felt like each day living in fatigue, and I couldn't go on. It was hard, to the point that I went to the doctor and said all of this, and they said, you know what, this is what's happening to you. You're dying. I probably would have believed them. Like, that's, I felt like I was dying unto self. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget. It was a Sunday. It was September 16th. I had made a grave mistake, and I had started at some point to go to, like, different, like, healers, because I was like, what is going on? Somebody help me. And I came home and I just collapsed. And I remember having this same feeling of warmth and love that I had experienced twice now. And this, it's hard to explain. I mean, I don't even know if I was, like, asleep or in a vision state, but this being of light and love came and took my heart out of my chest and cleansed it with a warm blanket and put it back in. And this is way before I read Ezekiel about, you know, I will take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how on my journey, I had discovered a lot about what I was experiencing during that time. There was, like, all this blood, like a blood transfusion, all this dark blood came out, and fresh, bright red blood came into my body. And a diffuser was put, like, in the bottom of my stomach, like, just all of this really just transformative experiences happening. And at the time, I actually had, I had an ovarian cyst that I was going to have to get surgery for because it was getting big. And that same, like, being just kind of gently, like almost like an iron, just ironed it out. Incidentally, I went back for an appointment and it was completely gone. Mm. just completely gone. So I got up from that experience, and the only thing I wanted to do was read a Bible. And I thought, oh my goodness, like, what is this? And my roommate from college, who I had lost touch with at that point, had given me a Bible when we were going to church together many years earlier. And it was King James, which I remember reading 10 years before and like, this is Shakespeare. I don't understand what this says. So I didn't really delve into it. And then during this time, I'm telling you, it was like so revelatory. Every word that I read, it was just like, yep, yep, okay. I don't know that I quite understand exactly what this means, but I know that this is truth. And, you know, I kind of like, okay, I'm just going to read the short books. And I started off in Proverbs. I thought, that's innocent. You know, everybody knows Proverbs. I've seen lots of Proverbs over the years. And I went from that to Ecclesiastes and then like the Psalms. And I thought, okay, you know, I could read all of these. They're benign. Still something within me was, you know, like kind of kicking and screaming like, no, we're not going to go down this path, even though I'm reading the Bible, which is Christian. And the Lord kept saying to me over and over and over again. And I was just like, no way, I'm not reading 66 chapters. He kept saying, you need to read the book of Isaiah. Mm-hmm. And I for a long time just said, nope, I'm going to, let's go. What's the next short book? Let's read that first. And then I finally gave in and I read Isaiah, and that changed my entire vision of what the Bible is, honestly, just that one book. And there are some key verses that really I'd like to highlight, because they were the ones that slowly made the scales fall from my eyes, like this road to Damascus experience that I was having with the precious word of God. So the first one that I came across was Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Sorry, I get emotional reading this one. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. I had grown up hearing the word Emmanuel, and I never knew what it meant. And when I searched what it meant, I was like, you're kidding me. God really wants to come here and be among us in this really faulty, sick, sad world that we live in. Like, that's amazing. That is just so beautiful. And after that, I read Isaiah 9:6. That was the next one that I came across, which just blew my mind. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Like, wow. I mean, this is just incredible. Again, that God would be all of these things for us. When I grew up with a distant God, he is not just a counselor that you can confide in, but Mighty God and our Everlasting Father. Like many people, I did not have the best relationship with my own father. So that was a particularly healing for me to see that. Mm. And he's the Prince of Peace. And then, you know, Isaiah 53 speaks for itself. It's actually in a lot of circles known as the forbidden passage, because it is the passage in the Old Testament that really declares the crucifixion and what really happened. But I thought, wow, you know, we're talking about a God who's despised and rejected by mankind and a man of suffering. Like, who doesn't know suffering? Who cannot relate to suffering and familiar with pain and then pierced for transgressions? Mm-hmm. So I knew immediately, like, okay, God, you got me. Okay, here it is, Isaiah, here it is. And then after I read Isaiah, the Holy Spirit really led me to read the Bible, starting with the New Testament. And I'm glad I did, because goodness, the Old Testament, I've read the Bible now 3 times cover to cover. And each time I go through the Old Testament, I'm really grateful for the New Testament. And it's all one story that works together, but I'm just glad for the light in the New Testament that shines bright. So In the New Testament, I came across, he will leave the 99 sheep to search for one lost sheep, and that's Matthew 18:12. And I just sobbed knowing I was that lost sheep. And that mathematical equation makes absolutely no lick of sense to me. Like, how do you leave 99 to go after one? But that is just the beauty and the glory and the compassion and mercy and grace of God. And I then came across John 10:27, my sheep recognize my voice. And this is now early winter of 2018. And I will say, I know I accepted Christ at that point. I had for a little bit like dabbled in, okay, I'm going to do some comparative religious studies. I actually read the Quran like a little bit, you know, to be like, okay, well, what does the Quran say about Jesus? And that's a whole other story that I won't get into right now. But something in my spirit said, you know what, Sarah, when you're looking for a real $100 bill, you don't study the counterfeits. You just study the real one to know that it's real. And I set that aside and I just started reading the Bible. So although I really accepted Christ in that winter, I thought, you know, how cool is it to actually pick my own birthday? So I picked March 3rd, 2019, and I picked 33 in honor of the 33 years that God, with all his love, sent his son to dwell 33 years among us on this earth. So that was the day I accepted Christ. And I have to say, and I know a lot of people say it, it's the best decision that I've ever made. I do feel like his journey for me was so intentional. And he set me apart from a very young age. I mean, I would say I've always just felt different. And the first time I felt like I had a true identity was when I became a Christian. Yeah. That was the first time in my entire life. So he does work through the muck and the mire and the valleys and the mountains of our lives. And he knows where he needs us to be just so we can have him to ourselves and vice versa. And when I accepted Christ, it was not easy. I mean, the true testament that you're on the right team is all the spiritual warfare that constantly comes. And I definitely have entered, you know, periods of wilderness, and the conviction before coming to Christ was tough, but goodness, the sanctification process afterwards, it's no joke. It's not for the faint of heart. I would say that I remember the first few months to a year of being a Christ follower, I felt like I had traded in legalism for legalism. I was on this path of, I need to do this the right way. There has to be a right way. And it's kind of like everybody has their substance of choice that they've dabbled in throughout their lives, right? For me, it was spirituality. So I was just very cognizant of, nope, I don't want to do this. I want to make sure I don't. Even when things were benign, when they were innocent, I was just very much over the top of, I don't even want to be around any of that. So I remember the Lord really convicted me with really considering Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And to stop living in that world of bondage that I lived in prior to coming to Christ. And, you know, we are in liberty now. And I have to say, that's been an ongoing process for me to embrace liberty and joy. Because to me, I don't know, somewhere along the line, being able to strive for excellence has been synonymous with faith and being a good person that gets into heaven. Even though I'm on the other side of it now where it's grace-based, I still, gosh, that gift is so overwhelming that I think it's taken me a long time to actually receive it fully. As someone who had literally gone through maybe 20 to 25 different churches, finding the right one, finding the right church and community is everything. I made a promise to God early on when I started the journey, even before becoming a Christian. I promised him that no matter what, I would be in church every single weekend unless I was sick or traveling. Yeah. And I've kept that promise to him. You have to be in a church you want to go to every Sunday. And for me, I was looking for something that I thought was going to be common in the DC metropolitan area. And that is Bible-based expository teaching, a sense of community and diversity, you know, people of all different backgrounds coming together, like, you know, Pastor Steve often says, like what heaven is going to look like. Mm-hmm. And it was so hard for me to find that. And I will say through some twists and turns, God did put me in a good place. He put me at Heritage. And I feel like I've just grown exponentially in ways that I didn't even imagine growing as far as my own mindset and my beliefs in order to really, like I just said in the first example, really reach for grace and not anything else. And to know that we do have that gift and not to take it for granted. And so I would say that has been one of the biggest points of healing and transformation, was just to be in the right community.
As we wrap up the podcast, you know, one last impactful thing or truth that has, you know, just continued to keep you, you know, grounded in who Jesus is.
Yeah. And this one, it's hard to say it out loud because there are things that I'm still yearning for and hoping for in my life that have not come to fruition. But deep down inside, I do believe that God has our best interest in mind and that anything is possible through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I will say that I feel like I want to just give a message of hope to anyone who has someone they love who's not a Christian, that I have, my salvation was completely radical. It was not on my radar at all. If you would have told me 2 years prior to 2018, you're going to be a Christian, or 2019, I would have just like given you this look of, what are you talking about? Like, no, not me. I think you're meant to say that to maybe that person down there. Mm-hmm. So it's possible. And don't lose hope that God, we serve a God of miracles. We serve an 11th hour God, and he can save. And I'm waiting for him to save my entire family as well. Another thing is, to the person who's a new Christian, my heart is for new Christians. I would love to find a way to walk alongside new Christians, because I feel like they not need a lot of care that is sometimes overlooked, especially in the realm of the day-to-day and the spiritual warfare. I'm a strong believer that a plant is most vulnerable when it's a seed, and we have a lot of seedlings, including myself, that are out there that need a special type of care in order to thrive in this world that is not always in our best interest, and we need to know what to look out for and who to look out for. And lastly, I would just say to the Christian who's been on a path for a long time and there are bumps in the road and periods of wilderness, hang on and find those to mentor who are maybe not as far along on the journey, because we need you. We need you to show us that it might not necessarily get better. Don't give us a false hope. But one thing that I will say, that my life has not changed incredibly since accepting Christ, as far as the things that have happened in my life and, you know, the struggles. However, I am not walking it alone. And that is the most beautiful part of all.
Thank you again, Sarah, for being on the I Can Relate podcast. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again, everyone, for taking the time to listen to today's episode. I hope that you will share it with a friend. And like I said before, if you can subscribe or even give a 5-star rating, that will help other people find the podcast and be encouraged. I also hope you will stay tuned for my next guest at the end of the month, Susanna Stalnecker. She is the director of women's programs at the Mighty Oaks Foundation, and you're not going to want to miss her journey and what God has done in her own life and how she is helping people. So stay tuned for that, and I will talk to you next time on the I Can Relate podcast.